Good morning. Today's daf in Sukkah, Mem Aleph. We're on the very bottom of Mem Amud Beis. We are starting with the words Amar Rava. So let's quickly recap from yesterday. So yesterday we spent the entire day talking about Perish Shvius and Kedushas Perish Shvius. So when you have any fruit that grows over the Shemitah year, so not only are you allowed to eat it, you're supposed to eat it. It's a mitzvah to eat it. It has Kedushas Shvius, and therefore there's a mitzvah to eat it. On the other hand, there are further regulations that that govern any fruit that grows during the Shemitah year. Notably, because it has kedusha, so it's lo achla, lo l'schora, and basically you can only eat it. And not only that, but there's a deadline. As long as the fruit is out in the field, so then we have an obligation, allowance to eat it. After the fruit is no longer in the field, i.e., it's no longer in season, so then there's a mitzvah of biur. Now, what does biur mean? So the Rambam, I quoted the Rambam numerous times. Not all Rishonim agree in terms of what exactly biur is, but according to the Rambam, biur means that you have to actually destroy the pears. Okay, now we also learned in yesterday's daf that not only is there going to be kedusha on the pears, but it's going to, if there's any kind of transfer of kedusha, i.e. a transaction, let's say you sell the pear shvius, so the item in which you sold it for, let's assume it's money, doesn't have to be money, could barter it with some other food, so that the money now is going to have the kedusha, pear shvius. Now let's say that money's transacted with another item, that item is also going to have kedusha shvius. Good. So the kedusha now is just simply going to jump through whatever transaction it is involved in. Good. So and that means now that the item that has the demay kedusha shvius is going to have to be treated with the same rules and regulations, i.e., you can only eat it, i.e., it's going to, at the shas beer, you're going to have to destroy it. Okay. It also means, of course, that you can't buy durable goods with your pears, with your pears shvius. Because obviously, with durable goods, if you want to buy clothing with your pears shvius, so what are you going to do? You're going to destroy it when you get to the shas beer? It's already, you're not going to destroy it. And on top of that, it's not a food. It's not a consumable item. So you can't buy durables. Later, in just a couple minutes from now, so let's say you have demay perish fees and you want to buy, you want to buy durables. You want to buy clothing. Is there a way to go about it? So in just a couple minutes from now, there is a way to go about it. It's not a simple way, but there is a way to go about it. Okay. Anyway, that is all what we discussed in yesterday's daf. And then furthermore, another point that we discussed in yesterday's daf is how exactly to make the chilul. How exactly is the kedusha going to go from point A to point B to point C to point D, et cetera, et cetera. Now again, just as a helpful reminder of what we saw yesterday, in that first transaction, when you have the actual perish vias and you transact it with money, so even though normally speaking what happens with kedusha is it jumps to the other item, but when it comes to perish vias, the original payers will always retain their kedusha. In that first transaction, it's kind of like tamura. Okay, the Gemara doesn't make the dimyon, right? But it's whatever, it is. In other words, the original item still retains its kedusha, and the kedusha also goes to the item in which it was transacted with. It's from that point going forward, now we have the jump. Meaning that when I have, let's say, the money, and the money then was exchanged for another item, so then the kedusha jumps from the money to the other item, et cetera, et cetera. For the first transaction, so both are going to be kaddish, and then for every subsequent transaction, it's going to jump. We established that yesterday as well. Okay, now, in order to appreciate the first part of today's daf, we have to review one other point from yesterday. And that is the machlokes between Rav Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan. How exactly does the kaddish go in terms of peir shvius? Now, when it comes to maaser sheni, so you could just simply do chilul. You could be mechala. And deconsecration is very simple, meaning you take your Meister Sheni, you take money and you then simply deconsecrate. You take the Kedusha from the Meister Sheni and transfer it over to the money. And you don't have to get another party involved. It doesn't have to be a Mekach. It could be just simple Chilul or deconsecration onto your own money. What we saw yesterday, Machlok Shin Rav Elazar and Rav Yochanan, in terms of how it's going to work as it relates to, as it relates to Perish Shvius. Okay, so in a moment, we're going to set up that Machlokas. Okay, between Rav Elazar and Rav Yochanan, and we're going to try in a moment to qualify that machlokas. That'll be done in just a moment. In the meantime, however, just to finish up from yesterday's daf, yesterday we introduced the machlokas between Rav Meir and the Chachamim in terms of your peir shvius. So echa shvius. Let's just go back. Let's see it again. Tanya kavasa to Rav Yochanan. Okay, we have a brisa supporting Rav Yochanan. Now again, as I just pointed out in the intro. So Rav Yochanan says that when you're transferring to Meishvius, it can be done b'der chilul. Okay, doesn't have to be done b'mekach u'memkar. So, Tanya Kavasi, Rav Yochanan, we have a braisa supporting Rav Yochanan. This is now four lines on the bottom of Mem Amud Beis. And here the Gemara starts off, Echad Shvias ve'echad Maaser Sheni, both when it comes to the Per Shvias and Maaser Sheni, Mischalana Behema. So you could be mischala onto an animal, chai va'of, right? Doesn't matter what kind of animal it is. Ben chai ben shchutim, whether the animal is alive or already shechted. Divrei Rabbi Meir, that she does Rabbi Meir, v'chachamim omrim, al shchutim mischalan al chayin mischalan. So, no, if the animal is already shechted, and so good, so you could be mischala onto the shechted meat of the animal. But not while the animal is alive. Gzera shami gadol mehem adarim. The concern, of course, is that if I now transfer the Kedusha onto a live animal, so that animal now may reproduce. And what's that going to do? That's going to multiply Kedusha. And the Kedusha will just simply get out of hand. Okay. And by the way, what's the problem with that? of the Kedusha getting out of hand? So as Rashi points out over here, because basically you have an expiration for both the Kedusha Shvius and the Kedusha of Meiser. What's your expiration for Kedusha Shvius? It's going to be the Zman Bir, like we spoke about the intro of today's daf. What is going to be the expiration of the of Meiser? So it's the end of the third year and the end of the sixth year. At the end of the third year and end of the sixth year, you must have exhausted all your Trumas and Meisers. Meaning, right? Just as an example. So for our taxes are due annually, and by a certain point in time, we have to not only report our taxes but pay our taxes. So in terms of Trumas and Meisers. So there is a deadline, but the deadline happens to be a little more breathing room. You have 3 years. In other words, at the end of the third year, you have to have paid all your Trumas and Maisos of the past 3 years, of the first 3 years of the cycle. And the same thing is true with the second 3 years of the 6 year Shemitah cycle. I say 6 year, you know what I mean. I mean the ones that you are obligated to have to pay Trumas and Maisos. Good. And on top of that, you also have to report that you paid everything off. You know what that's called? It's called Vidui Meiser. That is in the beginning of Parshas Kisavo. Anyway, the point of all this is that if we put the Kedusha into something that is going to reproduce and multiply, so now what's going to end up happening is that there's no way that we're going to be able to terminate and finish all of the that Meiser if it just keeps it growing and expanding and reproducing. Okay, so that's why, according to the Shita of the Chachamim, you can only be mechalal on shchuta, on animals which are already shechted. Now, Amar Rav, on this machlokus of Rav Meir and the Chachamim, so Rav says, machlokus, yes, it's true, there is a machlokus, but machlokus b'tzcharim, the only debate is only regarding male animals. We're on the top of Mem Aleph, Amar Aleph. Ava ben Akevos, divrei kol, al shchuta mischalan, al chayin mischalan. Gzer shem yigado, al mehem adarim. But if we're talking about a female animal, so obviously a female animal is going to reproduce, meaning that's the very nature of a female animal. Is going to reproduce. So there, everyone agrees, says Rava, both the Chachamim and even Rabbi Meir, that you can't transfer the Kedusha onto a female animal because that obviously is going to reproduce. Now, the only question is it going to extend to a male animal as well? Where Rabbi Meir says it does not extend to a male animal, and the Chachamim says, yeah, it even extends to a male animal. Okay. That part's true. But in other words, but the Kedusha is right now only in the female. So that means that the Kedusha will reproduce. I wonder, right? The Gemara doesn't really bring it up over here. It is a big discussion back in Chulin, is that if the father is a Davar Kadosh and impregnates the mother, is that Kedusha also now go into it as well? But I'll tell you what, the Gemara in Chulin is not focused on that aspect of the father's input in whether or not the father's status goes into the child. The Gemara over there was talking about Osaves, but no. Okay, anyway. Okay. Let's leave it alone because that will complicate, and I want to keep everything as simple as possible. All right. Amar Ravashi. Okay. I'm Aleph, I'm Aleph. Now is a good time to reset Rav Elazar and Rav Yochanan. So again, Rav Elazar and Rav Yochanan talking about the transferring of the Kedusha from the Perish Shvius onto the money. So, Shitas Rav Yochanan is that it can be done derech Chilul. Shitas Rav Elazar is that it can only be done Aide Mekach Umemkar, only with a transaction. And when I say transaction, I mean it has to be two parties, right? There has to be a buyer and a seller. And then and only then the Kedusha Perish Shvius is going to be transferred. Now, why should that be? In other words, Rav Yochanan's position seems to be the more reasonable position. Because any other time we're talking about deconsecrating, right? By Meiser Sheni, you don't need another party. By Meiser Sheni, you're just simply Mechalal. you deconsecrate onto money that you have. So why according to Rav Elazar, does it have to be done b'derech mekach u'memkar? So we learned yesterday, this is just a review of what we saw yesterday, because he had a smuchin, he had two psukim juxtaposed one next to the other, and one pasuk talking about Yovel, and another pasuk describing, I'm sorry, not that. Kiyovel ikarish makarish bein derech mekach, no, that was for Rav Yochanan. What is Rav Elazar? It is also smuchin. Okay. Right. The Vashansi Yavazos Vesamichle. Yeah, it's Muchin. I'm sorry, I was right. So, right, Shnaza Yaval Hazos Vesamichle Vesimkaru. Okay, fine. It's just basically Smuchin. That they have two psukim juxtaposed one next to another. Peir Shvias, Kedusha Shvias, and Memkar. So it can only be done Bederach Memkar. That's the sheet of Rav Elazar. On that now, what the Gemara is going to try to do is fine tune the Machlokas. So Amar Ravashi, frame it. Frame the Machlokas. So we are on the top of Mem Aleph, Amid Aleph, Amar Ravashi, Machlokas be pre-Rishon. Yes, there's a debate between Rav Elazar and Rav Yochanan. How is the Kedusha of Shvius going to transfer from the fruit onto the money? But that's only with that first transaction. Aval be pre-Sheni, but any subsequent transaction. So Divrei HaKol, Bein Derech Mekach, Bein Derech Hillel. It can be done, Bein Derech Mekach, Derech Hillel. There, Rav Elazar and Rav Yochanan are no longer arguing on the subsequent transactions. Any post-transaction that's done after the original transaction can be done either via Mekach or via Chilo. Now, v'hadiktani lakach lakach, the Gemara says, okay, now go back to a Braisa we saw yesterday. So again, returning back to yesterday's daf. So the Gemara quoted a Braisa, and the Braisa actually gave illustration of what it looks like in order to transfer the Kedusha. And the Braisa says that you took the Parashvias and you exchanged it. And then you took that item and you exchanged it for another item. Now, every single time in every exchange, it uses the word lakach, which sounds like not only for the original transaction, but for any subsequent transaction, it has to be done al yedei lekicha. So how can you tell me that they're only debating about the original transaction? Clearly, they're talking about subsequent ones. So the Gemara says, no, I did the tani resha lakach, tani nami sefer lakach. The only reason why the Braisa used Lakach as an example is only for purposes of symmetry. Look, that's just the way the Braisas are structured. The first transaction is done al yedei lekicha. It's not that the subsequent ones have to be done that way. It's just that's the way the Braisas like to operate, by giving a nice, streamlined, almost poetic way to present it. A reminder, back in the day, Braisas were memorized. So the easier the Braisa was to memorize, so good. So that's the way it was. That was the way it was presented, but the subsequent transactions don't have to be done al yedei lekicha. Okay, Eisvei Ravina LeRavashi Mishiyesh Lo Sela Shel Shviyas Uvikesh Lo Likach Bo Chalak. Ah, so now we're going to be learning a new brisa, right? A brisa we have not yet seen, but this brisa is going to seem to inform this discussion, because this brisa over here talks about the following: you have Sela Shel Shviyas. Now Sela Shel Shviyas means is that you had original pair of Shviyas, and then it was, and then whatever how. Let's say through transaction, okay, does, whatever. Let's say through transaction now. So the Kedusha now is on the money. Okay, so the money obviously is not the original. Okay, but nevertheless, it has Kedusha Shvias. It was transacted with Peir Shvias. Now, here you are holding the money of Peir Shvias. And here now becomes the problem. Again, you are going to be significantly regulated in what you could do with that money. What can you do with that money? Being that it has Kedusha's Peir Shvias, anything that I buy with it has to be consumed, which number one means I have to buy food. Number two, it means that the food that I buy with it has to be finished by the Shas Biur. I want to buy clothing with the money. Okay. Is there a way to do it? So yes. Now it's not easy, but there is a way to do it. And the Braisa now is going to give us a way of how we're going to, and now I'm going to say it in such a nasty way, we're how to launder the money. We're not, it's nasty. I don't mean it that way. But in other words, but yes. In other words, to take money that has Kedusha Shvias and basically now give me the ability to go ahead and to buy durable goods with that money. So there is a way to do it. And what is the way to do it? So Mishesh Losel Shel Shvias Ubikesh Lekoch Bo Chalok. And he wants to buy clothing. So Ketzer Yaseh Yelech Etzo Chanvani HaRagol Etzla. So what you're going to do is you're going to go to your local fruit store, the corner fruit store. Okay, and it's somebody you know and somebody you trust, and he trusts you. You have a relationship with him. V'amar lo tain li b'sela peros. V'nosin lo. Okay, so here's money, and everything, in other words, there's full disclosure over here. Right, there's no deceptions. So I have in my hand coins of Shvius. Okay, you have fruit. Okay, let's make a transaction. Yesher koach. And so now what happens is the Kedusha now is going to go into the fruit as the money gets transferred over to the Chanvani. Now, v'chozv amalah harei peos alalu nesunim l'cha b'matana. V'hu amalo halacha sela zu b'matana. And now I'm going to give you your fruit back as a gift. You will give me back the money as a gift. That is obviously not a transaction. In other words, those are just simply passing gifts one to another. Now, v'hala lokech b'hem mashiyirza. And now what you've done now is that you've laundered the money. The money now is going to be free and clear of any kedusha. Now, where is that kedusha right now? So it's in the fruit that's currently being held by the chanvani. So this chanvani, by the way, is doing you he's doing you a good one. He's doing you a favor in that his fruit prior to this, you know, to this laundering, this fruit prior to that had no kedusha shvius, and now the chanvani has got peros now that has kedusha shvius, which means now that it can only be eaten. It means that it has to be eaten b'shas abiyur. Okay, so that's why the Brisa says you can only do this with a chanvani haragolo. In other words, if you just go to stam a person and you ask him to do you such a favor, chances are he's not going to want to do you such a favor. Anyway, it's an interesting Brisa. The Gemara just wants to draw one point out of the Brisa, and that's it. And now the Brisa over here could not be any clearer. We're starting now not with the perishvias, but with the coins, which means that we already went through the first transaction. Now we're up to subsequent transactions. And now, how do I launder the money? Now, if I could have done chilul, don't you think the Brisa would have favored the option of chilul? Because chilul doesn't involve anybody else. Meaning, what I'll simply do is I'll take the money, and I'll be mechalal it. I will just simply deconsecrate it onto other fruit that I have. I could have just easily done that. Rather than to get another party involved, I gotta get a merchant involved. I'm gonna, and the truth of the matter is I'm putting him in somewhat of a worse position. Just do the chilul by yourself. Why didn't the Brisa elect that as an option? And the reason is because you can't do it al derech chilul. So it seems to be that anything that is post the original transaction must be done al yidei mekach and cannot be done al yidei chilul. It's pretty clear. So Elam Ravashi. So Ravashi says, okay, I'm gonna concede the point. And it's just we're gonna say it over now a little bit differently. Machlokas b'prishani, the whole debate between Rav Elazar and Rav Yochanan is only on the subsequent transactions of al b'prishon, but on the original transaction, divrei hakol derech mekachin, derech chilolo, it can only be done derech mekach. Why? Because again, we go back to yesterday's daf because of the smuchin, meaning that smuchin is now going to establish that for that first transaction, it can only be done the transfer of kedusha. Now I say transfer. Remember, in that first transaction, it's not really a transfer because the original fruit still remained kadosh. But in terms of the kedusha moving over now to the money, that's only for that first transaction, it's only done ayidei mekach. Now, it's true that we did quote a brisa yesterday that talked about both Meister Shvi and Meister Sheni and Shvius, and it sounded like it could be done ayidei chilul. Right, that was the Brisa on the bottom of yesterday's daf, the one that we started off with today's daf with. So the Gemara says, "My shvius to my shvius." Shvius over there did not mean the original pair of shvius; it meant something that accepted the kedusha, i.e., the demay. In other words, coins that were exchanged. Dilo temahachi meiser meiser mamish. Because and you have to say that because when that same Brisa was talking about meiser, do you really think that we're talking about the original meiser? Of course, we're not talking about the original meiser. In other words, it's money. Money, by definition, has to have been already accepting the kedusha. It was already transferred. So ela demei meiser. So achinami demei shvius. Okay, fine. So just like meiser over there meant demei meiser, shvius also means demei shvius as well. And so what it comes out now is that Brisa doesn't challenge Ravashi at all. So here comes the conclusion. So in terms of the peir shvius. In terms of how it is going to be that its kedusha is going to go from it to another item. So for that first transaction, for the original transaction, it can only be done ayideh mekach, and it cannot be done ayideh chilul. Good, that's number one. Number two is that then for further transactions, for for any further transaction. So that's the machlokes between Rav Elazar and Rav Yochanan. Rav Elazar says that it can be done. It can only be done ayde mekach, and Rav Yochanan says it can be done even al yide chilol for all subsequent transactions. And lichaora, all right, I didn't look up the Rambam, but lichaora we pass like Rav Yochanan, meaning machlokes between Rav Elazar and Rav Yochanan, we pass like Rav Yochanan typically. Okay, adkan. That takes us to the end of the first part of today's daf. We now are going to be starting a Mishnah. We are in the Mishnah, right in the middle, mem alef amad alef. And the Mishnah is going to introduce us to a very basic point. Brishona, haya lulav nita b'mikta shiva. So originally, the lulav was taken in the Beis HaMikdash for 7 days. There's a mitzvah in the Beis HaMikdash to take lulav for all 7 days of Sukkos. Uvi medina, and then outside the Beis HaMikdash, yom echad. There's only 1 day of mitzvah of nitilas dalet minim. Why? Because the pasuk says, ulekachtem lachem b'yom harishon, Priyat Sadar Kapas Tamarim, etc., etc. So the beginning of that pasuk describes how Lekachan Lachem Biyom Harishon. It's only the first day, meaning the 15th day of Tishrei. And then the end of the pasuk says Usmachtem Lifnei Hashem Elokechem Shivas Yomim. So clearly the understanding is that in the Beis Hamikdash, so Viter, there's a mitzvah of Netilas Dalel Lulav for the subsequent days. As well. Good. Now, Misha Charbeis HaMikdash. Now, by the way, we don't process this well because we take Dalamina for all 7 days. Why? In a moment, we're going to explain. But that means to say that in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, so all the purchasing of the Dalamina, talk about how, right? That's a lot of money that goes into just 1 day usage. That's it. I mean, at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, if you're not in the Beis HaMikdash, so there's only a mitzvah to take it 1 day and only 1 day. Okay. So however, Mishachar Beis HaMikdash Shetim Rav Yochanan Zakai Sheilulav Nota B'Medina Shiva Zech LaMikdash Ushiyeh Yom Anev Kolo Aser. Now, the Rav Yochanan Zakai made a number of takanas. When we get to the fourth parak of Rosh Hashanah together, Im Yirtzeh Hashem, so we're going to learn all the takanas of Rav Yochanan Zakai post the destruction of the Second Temple. So Rav Yochanan Zakai made numerous takanas. If I remember correctly, hopefully I do, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah in the fourth parak enumerates 9 in total that he made. These are just 2 of the takanas. Why these particular 2? And why does the Mishnah here lump the 2 together? It's not clear. The Gemara doesn't discuss why. All right, Tosfos over here makes an attempt to try to explain it. Okay. Anyway, takana number 1 that's mentioned in our Mishnah is that because we no longer have a Beis HaMikdash and we no longer have the ability to do the mitzvah min haTorah of Lula for 7 days, which Bizman Beis HaMikdash, if you were in the Beis HaMikdash, was a mitzvah. So therefore, to remind ourselves, so Rav Yochanan Zakai says, so what we do is now is that we take the Lula for all subsequent days to remind ourselves, Zecher LaMikdash, of once upon a time, we had a Beis HaMikdash, and once upon a time it was mitzvah for all 7 days. Okay, I think I'm saying this as an educator, we need to do a better job. Meaning, you ask most people why we take Lula for 7 days, people know that Zecher LaMikdash. I'm not sure if this is broadcasted well enough. In other words, I need to do a better job as an educator. So we should be thinking when we take the lulav for the subsequent days of Sukkot that this is Zecher LaMikdash, and that was a takana of Yochanan Zakai to help us remember the Beis HaMikdash. Number 2, the second takana in the Mishnah. So this is going to take just a moment of introduction, a little bit of explaining, in order to help us appreciate what the second takana was in this Mishnah. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to hold. We're going to get back to it in just a moment. When the Gemara is about to discuss it, but first let me go through this little bit of Gemara at the front end, and then we'll come back and I'll explain the second takana. I read in the Mishnah. I didn't explain it. We're going to explain it just momentarily. Minalan de avdinan zech lamikdash. This idea that there's a requirement to remind ourselves of the Beis HaMikdash. Minalan. So from where do I know it? So I'm Rav Yochanan. I'm a Kra. It's a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Ki ala ruchalach. So I'm going to give you I'm going to heal you. Now, as far as the Beis HaMikdash is concerned, no one's asking about the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning the Beis HaMikdash is, the Navi is forecasting, the Beis HaMikdash it needs to be sought out and no one's seeking it out. So, Dorish Ein La, Mechlal Debay Drisha. Which means that, obviously, this is tochacha, this is rebuke given to us by the Navi, meaning that we have to remind ourselves that there was once upon a time a Beis HaMikdash, and we yearn for the building of the Beis HaMikdash, and so in practice it must be done where there's got to be ways for us to help us remember the Beis HaMikdash. Not necessarily the Churban of the Mikdash, but just simply to help us yearn for the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. Good. So that's the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, the Diuk in the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, telling us that there needs to be done, that are things that are be done, Zeich LaMikdash. Rav Yochanan Zakkai made numerous takanas to help us remember the Beis HaMikdash and to yearn for it. Okay. Shei Yom HaNeif. Okay. So now we're going to get to the second takana of Rav Yochanan Zakkai. So now is an excellent time to just simply pause and give a brief word of introduction. The grains. So first of all, let's just talk about the season in terms of when the grains are planted and when they're harvested. It's basically a six-month process. After Sukkot, the grains are planted, and right around Pesach time, the grains are harvested. Right? We're talking here about the five grains: wheat, barley, oats, belt, rye. So now, basically, the new crop is going to be coming in at the end of the winter. Okay? Again, you know me, I'm not the farmer, I'm a teacher, but I think nowadays they do even two seasons with the grains, but notwithstanding, we just simply need to know the basics. So, once it is harvested right before Pesach, so now we have these brand new grains that were just harvested, and all those grains are usher to eat min ha-Torah. Those grains are what's called chadash usher min ha-Torah. We're not allowed to eat any of those grains. It's a lav in the Torah to go ahead and to eat any of those grains, right? You took off Trumas and Maisos. That's not the issue. The issue is it's Chadash. It's simply Chadash. And so therefore we're not allowed to eat it. When are we allowed to eat it? So when we're allowed to eat it is going to be when we bring the Karban Omer on the second day of Pesach, on the 16th day of Nisan. So a Karban is brought called the Karban Omer, detailed in Parsha Samor, and the Karban Omer is going to be the Matir. It's going to serve now where it's going to permit all those grains. So any grains that were around during the second day of Nisan, meaning all the newly harvested grains, then it doesn't even have to be harvested to be accurate. It could even still be connected to the ground. But any grains that have grown now in this season, so now we're going to become mutter with the bringing of the Karban Omer. The Karban Omer is brought when? So let's even be more specific. Not just on the 16th day of Nisan, but typically in the morning, after the Karban Tamid, so knowing that the Karban Omer needs to be brought, so it's going to be brought that morning. The seventh Perek of Menachos goes through all the details of the Karban Omer. Now, I'm not going to go through all the details of the Karban Omer because it's not our main topic, but the Gemara is going to be spending some time with it, so it's appropriate that we go through it, just a little bit of an introduction. Okay, now, Bizmanenu, Chadash is still Aser, meaning even though we no longer have a Beis HaMikdash, but there's still an Iser called Chadash. So I have a simple question. So nowadays that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash and there's no Karban Omer, so what's the matir? What's now going to allow us to eat the grains? What converts the grain from being chadash to being yashan? From being aser to being mutter? What's the conversion? So the answer is the 16th day of Nisan, meaning the day itself now serves as a matir. Even though we no longer have a Karban, so the day itself serves as a matir. Now, which part of the day? In a moment, we're going to debate that. But right now, I'm going to say it's simple. It's the first part of the day, meaning Mishehayer. Let's call right Netzachama or whatever. Right, not even the first quarter. In other words, the moment that the day begins, the sun rises. That's it. All the Chadash becomes Mutter. Good. So that means now, in a post Beis HaMikdash world, so you and I now are allowed to eat the new grains already in the morning of the 16th. Now, also, just as let's contextualize just a little bit. It is Pesach. Okay. So what are we going to be doing with the grains? The answer is really simple. We're going to make matzah out of it. Okay. It is not our minug to bake matzah on Pesach. Right. Some have the minug of baking matzahs on Erev Pesach. Okay. And the vast majority of us don't do that. In other words, our matzah's already been prepared well beforehand. Okay. But okay, fine. But you can make matzah out of it. So in a post-Beis HaMikdash world, so we're going to be eating the grains already on the morning of. So that means the first day of Chol HaMoed. And here in Chutz Laaretz, it's not the first day of Chol HaMoed. It's the second day of Yontiv. But on the first day of Chol HaMoed, so let's just focus on Eretz Yisrael. So now those grains become mutter already in the morning. Okay. Chadash is both in and outside of Eretz Yisrael. Everywhere. There is a day. There is a day. This is. I don't want to go too far down. There is a day that says that the Chadash only applies in Eretz Yisrael, not outside Eretz Yisrael. But that's a minority position. Okay, it applies in and outside of Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara in Kedushin discusses this in more detail. Okay, so what Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai did was the following. He said that despite the fact that min haTorah you're allowed to eat the grains in the morning of the 16th. So Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai says, I'm making a takana. We are not going to be eating grains the whole day. We will only be waiting till the next day to eat the grains. That was the takana of Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. And now if you want to go back in the Mishnah and just understand the words in the Mishnah. The Mishnah say, Vishiyehei, Yom Hanef. The Yom Hanef is the 16th day of Nisan. It's a funny way to describe it. The word Hanef over here is the derivative of the word Tanufa. Because part of the procedure of the Karban Omer is that you're Manef, you wave the Karban Omer. So that's why it's called the Yom Hanef. So the Yom Hanef, kulo asar. So you're not allowed to eat grains that whole day. Okay. And now, what we're going to do for just a couple minutes now is we're going to understand why. Why did he make such a takana? The Gemara is going to explain. My taima. So, I'm sorry, I'll read the heading. Vishay Yom Hanef, my taima. So why? So Meheri, Yabana Beis HaMikdash, because here's what's going to happen. The Beis HaMikdash is going to be built in a moment. At any moment. And V'yomru, and people are going to say the following. Ishtaki Melochlanu Behera Mizrach. Look, we are all creatures of habits. Every one of us. And now for the past 2,000 years, here's what we've been doing. We've been eating the grains when? Already on the morning of the 16th. And so now, when the Beis HaMikdash just jumps on us, leaps on us, so we're not going to change our habits. And what we're going to do now, even with the Beis HaMikdash here, is that we're going to eat the grains right away on the morning of the 16th. So, Ashinami Necho, V'ino lo yadi di'ishtake de lo have Beis HaMikdash here in Mizrach Hiter, and not realizing that all these years, so we didn't have a Beis HaMikdash. That's why we ate it, Beheir HaMizrach, at the beginning of the day. By the way, Heir HaMizrach sounds like, I said sunrise, it's earlier, it's already dawn, right? The day fundamentally starts at dawn. So we've been eating it in the early morning. So Hashadika Beis HaMikdash Omer Matir. So, and now that we have a Beis HaMikdash, so all of us now are going to be unaware of the fact that, no, you can't do that anymore. Meaning that with the Beis HaMikdash being built, so we have to wait for the Karban Omer to be brought. Okay. You talk about a takana, by the way, I want to think about it for just a moment. It's amazing. Based on the possibility that the Beis HaMikdash will be built, based on the habits and that habits are hard to break. And based on the fact that we may be eating Chadash for just a couple of hours prematurely, so Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai made an entire takana, that we're not allowed to eat the grains until the day's over, all for that possibility. If you think about it for a moment, it is rather amazing. But I think the easiest way to think about it is that the Gzera over here is improbable. However, the point is that it's just another way for us to remember the Beis HaMikdash. Right? That's probably more in terms of what is pushing this kind of gzeira. Now, the Ivne Amos, the Gemara says, can we just be even more specific? When exactly is the Beis HaMikdash being built over here that we have to be concerned about this? So, Elam, the Ivne Bishitzar. So, let's say the Beis HaMikdash just plopped and built on the 16th day of Nisan. Now, you and I understand that it's not going to take one day to build the Beis HaMikdash. The construction will probably go a couple months, maybe a couple of years. Okay, so the Gemara says, but again, we could just deal this with this in the abstract. We don't have to be so specific. And in a moment, I'm going to show you an amazing Rashi. But anyway, so let's say it's being built on the 16th. So Hare Hiter Heira Mizrach. So the Gemara says, okay, no problem, because on the morning of the 16th there was no Beis HaMikdash. So what's going to be the matir? No, right. The moment that the day starts, right? Heyurah Mizrach. Already it's mutter. So the Gemara says, so there'll be no problem. So Elad Ivne Bechamisar. So let's say it's being built on the 15th. Now, hopefully, you're wondering, 15th is Yantiv. You're building the Beis Mikdash on Yantiv. Hold that thought. So Mechatzos Yom Alahal Tishari Dahatanan. So the Gemara says, okay. So now, again, we are all creatures of habits, and we're going to be eating the Omer like we did in years past. Meaning in the morning, and it's too early, because now that we have a Beis HaMikdash, so you need the Karban Omer to be matir. Do you know when the Karban Omer typically was brought? Well, it's been a minute, so it's easy that you don't remember, but the Mishnah, Menachos, reminds us. Already by midday, we can all be rest assured that the Omer was brought. So even when there was a Beis HaMikdash, when are you and I allowed to eat new grains? Or when, or let's say it better, when do the new grains convert to becoming old grains? Midday. So the Gemara says, the Hatana, we have a Mishnah. Rechokim mutar michatzos hayom lahalan, lefishim besim es atzlin, bo. We know the Beis HaMikdash, we know the Kohanim, we know the Sanhedrin over there of the Kohanim. They're not lazy. They're going to take care of it in the morning. So even if the concern of Rav Yochanan Zakkai is that we're all creatures of habits, and that's why he made it usser, but you know what he should have made it usser? Only to midday. That's it. In other words, by Chatzos already, even when there was a Beis HaMikdash, all of us are allowed to eat the grains from Chatzot and onward. So make the gzir up until Chatzos. Why did he make it for the whole day? So the Gemara says, oh, so you know what the case must have been? The case is going to be where the Beis HaMikdash is built, punked on the night of the 16th, meaning it's Motzei Yantif, and now Mashiach came, and the Beis HaMikdash is now being built that night. So under those circumstances, now I can understand if that were happening. And when I say if, by the way, capital I, capital F, amazing. If that were to happen where the Beis HaMikdash was built on that night, so now we can understand how the Kohanim are going to get it past that first year that they're not going to be able to offer the Karban Omer in the morning. Rashi points out over here the Karban Omer is a process. It's a detailed process with the harvesting and the drying of the grains and the grinding and the sifting. And if in the event that the Beis HaMikdash was built on the night of, so probably the Omer is not going to be brought until sometime later the next day, and not in the morning. Okay, there's an amazing Rashi over here. I'm not going to read it inside, but I'll share it with you outside. And it's Tosfos over here. The Baam Tosfos is in full agreement with this Rashi. We have just entertained one of two possibilities of when the Beis HaMikdash will be built. Either it's going to be built on the 15th day of Nisan. The Gemara did not flinch at that suggestion, or the Beis HaMikdash will be built at night. The halachas of building the Beis HaMikdash, which understandably, what do we know from it? In other words, again, we haven't built the Beis HaMikdash now in a long time. So, but you're not allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash at night. Okay, it's a drasha. And on top of that, you're not allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos and Yantav. The Binyan Beis HaMikdash is not Docha, not Shabbos, and not Yantav. How in the world can the Gemara just entertain, which it did, that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built on Yantav? Alternatively, the Beis HaMikdash will be built at night. How? How can that be? You're not allowed to. Not in Yantav and not at night. Rashi writes over here that when it comes to the Binyan Shlishi, so that is going to, it's going to descend from heaven. V'i Kasha. Okay, I take it back. I'm going to read it. V'i Kasha. De'balayla eino nivda de'kamalam b'shvus de'ein Binyan Beis HaMikdash b'layla de'chsev v'yom hakim v'lo b'chameser shu yomtav de'kamalam b'shvus de'ein Binyan Beis HaMikdash toch yomtav. That's when you and I are building the Beis HaMikdash. Ava Mikdash he asid sha'anu mitzapim banui umeshuchlalhu. It is already built, says Rashi. Rashi. We're reading Rashi. This is not an esoteric source. It's Rashi on the Gemara. So banu umeshuchlalhu yigalev yavomi shamayim shenemra mikdash Hashem konenu yadacha. Okay, amazing. Okay, Rashi writes this, Tosfos writes this over here. It does not seem, a simple reading of the Rambam, which there I'm not going to read, I'm not taking it back, I'm not reading it. But the simple reading of the Rambam would seem to indicate that it's not being built, that we're building the Beis HaMikdash, and it's not coming down Min HaShamayim. Anyway, Rashi writes over here that in order to answer up our Gemara, because our Gemara did not flinch at the suggestions of building it on Yantif or building it at night, because the third Beis HaMikdash is coming down Min HaShamayim. Rashi on today's daf. It's amazing. Okay. Back to the Gemara. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar. We are three lines from the bottom. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar. Rav Yochanan Zakkai b'shitas Rav Yehuda Amar da Amar min haTorah hu aser. What we're trying to understand is why Rav Yochanan Zakkai made a takana that the whole day of the 16th we're not allowed to eat the grains. Why the whole day? It should only be up to Chatzos. Okay, so the first answer of the Gemara is that, well, it could be that the Beis HaMikdash was just built, and therefore the Kohanim are not going to have time. Okay, Rav Nachman Yitzchak is now going to take a totally different approach, which is that the Shita of Rav Yochanan Zakkai is not that he made a takana that you're not allowed to eat the whole day. It's actually that's the mitzvah haTorah. The Torah asers the whole day. Now, how do I know that? Min haTorah hu da'aser dichsiv. As we now turn to the Amud Beis, so the Gemara goes on to say. Ad etzem hayom hazeh. Ad itzumo shol yom. When the Torah says, ad etzem hayom hazeh, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, that means not up to, but up to and including. So v'kasav ad v'ad b'chlal. Okay. So that's the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is following that shita. Now the Gemara says, now that sounds a little bit strange. Umi savar le'kavasei v'hamiflek paligal le'aditnan. So the Gemara says, really? Rabbi Yehuda is agreeing with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai? That's not the sense that I get from the Mishnah. The Gemara quotes the Mishnah, not the Mishnah here. I mean, our Mishnah only quotes a part of it, but the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. And it's also Mishnah Menachos. Mishachar Beis HaMikdash Shetim Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai Shei Yom HaNefko Lo Aser. So once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai made a takana, you're not to eat the grains the whole day of the 16th. So Amar Lo Rabbi Yehuda. Right? What are we going to do with that word Lo? Right? We're going to take it out. Right? It was not a conversation. It wasn't a dialogue. Rav Yehuda is coming generationally later. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda V'alo Min HaTorah Hu Aser. Rav Yehuda says, why do I need a takana? It's Aser Min HaTorah. So it's clear now that Rav Yehuda obviously believes that he's at odds with Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. So this pshat that Rav Nachman Yitzchak is trying to suggest, that really Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai is not making a takana, but he's actually holding that it's Aser Min HaTorah. So the Gemara says, I don't know, that's not the sense you get from the Mishnah. You get from the Mishnah that Rav Yehuda is arguing in Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. So Rabbi Yehuda hu dekatayu. So the Gemara says, okay, maybe here's the way to understand it. Really, the truth of the matter is that Rabbi Yehuda is making an error in his understanding of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Hu savra midrabanan kamar. So he thought that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is operating on a derabanan level. And by the way, for good reason, because hitkin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. It certainly sounds that way. He's misaking it. So understandably, Rav Yehuda thought, oh, takana, meaning the Rabbanan. And that's why Rav Yehuda responds and says, it's not the Rabbanan, it's the Araisa. Velohi. But the Gemara says, but it was a misunderstanding. Because mid the Araisa kamar, vehe hitkin kamar, the Gemara asked the obvious question. But he did say the words hitkin, so my hitkin darsh ve hitkin. No, hitkin over here just simply means that the takana was on the fact that he had to perpetuate this position. He had to broadcast it to people. People didn't know. People were just assuming, oh, we don't have a basic mikdash anymore. Okay, it's fine. We can eat the grains in the morning. And the takana of Yochanan Zakkai was that he had a broadcast to the people. It's not true. It's already min haTorah that we are not allowed to eat until the day is over. Because even though the pasuk says ad etzem hayom hazeh, it means ad ve'ad bechlal. It means up to and including the 16th day. If there is no carbon omer and there's no matir of the carbon omer. Okay. Adkan, that takes us now to the end of our second discussion for today. Let's now continue with the third discussion. Yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag Shechalios B'Shabbos. So on the first day of Yontif, that happens to coincide with Shabbos, obviously, right? Yontif is a moving target and it can occur any day of the week. Now, I say that knowing full well that, practically speaking, with our calendar, it can occur any day of the week, right? Lo Adu Rosh. Rosh Hashanah cannot come out on a Sunday or a Wednesday or a Friday, which means that the first day of Rosh Hashanah cannot come out on a Sunday or Wednesday or Friday, right? That's how the calendar works. Whatever days Rosh Hashanah is also going to be the first day of Sukkot. So fine. But the point, of course, is that it can come out on a Shabbos. Okay. So now, the Mishnah over here says, Yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag Shechalios B'Shabbos, Kolam Olichinus Lulavim Lebeis HaMikdash, Lebeis HaKnesses. Okay, you saw what I almost did over there. So everyone would be bringing their lulav to the Beis HaKnesses, because they're going to be taking lulav on the first day of Sukkot, which is the mitzvah. Lamacharas. Now, why are they bringing it before Yontif? Because it's not just Yontif. It's Yontif and Shabbos. And although on Yontif you can carry, on Shabbos you can't carry. So therefore, in preparation for that Shabbos, Yontif, you're going to bring it to Shul before Yontif, before Shabbos. So lemachros mashkim avayin kol echav echan makir et shelo vinot lo. And now what everyone's going to do is they're going to take their lulav. I guess they're going to, label it and take it. Mimnei shamur chacham mimein adam yotzi yidei chavasa biyam tavishon b'lav shel chaveiro. Consider it has to be yours. So labeling becomes really important. Ushar yimos echag adam yotzi yidei chavasa b'lav shel chaveiro. Now, for all subsequent days, you don't have to use yours. If you borrow somebody else's, that would be fine. I know we already established this at the beginning of this perek, right? We are now been involved in this parak for over 11 blot. So the beginning of the parak was some time ago, even in Dafyomi terms. But already the beginning of the parak, we established it, but we never formally introduced ourselves to the drasha. We're about to do so. Rabbi Yossi Amar Yom Tov Rishon Shachag Shechalos V'Shabbos V'Shachach V'Hotzi Es Alulav L'Rishos HaRab V'Patur Mimnei Shehotzi HaBrishos. And Rabbi Yehuda over here makes a comment in terms of being Toa B'Dvar Mitzvah. Let's say it's the first day of Shabbos, which coincides, first day of Shabbos, sorry. Let me do that a lot better. It's the first day of Sukkot that coincides with Shabbos, and you're so excited about Dalaminim that you didn't bring it to shul in advance, you left it home, but you're so excited, it's the mitzvah of Dalaminim, and you pick it up and you walk. And you walk through Rishus Arabim, which under normal circumstances would be a violation of Shabbos. Of course, we're assuming you did a Bishogeg, you normally have to bring a Karban Chatos. Rav Yehuda says, not here. Why? Because the mitzvah gives you a certain amount of forgiveness. Now, when I say forgiveness, it's still usser. You're not allowed to carry it. But if you did so Bishogeg, because you were Toa B'Dvar Mitzvah, you were actively involved in the mitzvah, so you don't have to bring a Karban Chatos. Okay, this is the idea of Toa B'Dvar Mitzvah. Well, the Gemara is going to get to. In other words, that was once upon a time the practice. That's no longer the practice. We're gonna discuss that. Okay, and we're gonna tie it into Shofar and Rosh Hashanah as well. The Gemara is going to do all that.
If somebody wants to have done the Bais HaMikdash, the whole yontif, then his lulav has to be always lochem. He couldn't be yotzev.
Right. What Dr. Zimmerman is pointing out is that the 7-day requirement in the Beis HaMikdash, is that going to be like day one for the rest of us outside? Okay, what you're saying is absolutely reasonable. It's not clear. It's not clear. It's not clear in the Mishnah. It's not clear in the Gemara. But what you're saying is reasonable, right? I support it, but the Gemara never spells it out in terms of what the 7-day requirement is in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, Minani Mili, the Gemara. So we'll start with the Gemara. Yeah. So number one, everyone's got to have their own lulav. Lakachtem in the plural. Not b'lashon yachid. Tosos says, if the pasuk would have said v'lakachta, okay, so then we can have one representative taking it for everybody. Who says ulakachtem? Every single one needs their own lulav. Lachem, right? Mishalachem. And lachem tells us that it has to be yours. It can't be borrowed. It can't be stolen. So mikana merchacham imein adam yosei dechavasa biyam tavrishon shachag b'lav shachavera ella im kein asin lo b'matana. So the only way that you can be yotzi zayin with the mitzvah of dalaminim on day one is only if it's yours. It could be temporarily yours, as we're about to illustrate, but it's got to be yours. Now umaisa b'ramingam lo v'rabbi yeshuv v'rabbi lazar ben azar v'rabbi akiva. Now the next words I thought are going to be, and they're in Bnei Brak, and right, and it's different story, right? Basically, same participants, different story, right? We're missing Rabbi Tarfon. Okay, so Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Lazar ben Azari, Rabbi Akiva, Shayu Baim Besvina V'lo Hayu Lulav. Ella the Rabbi Gamliel Bavad. So the only one who had a lulav was Rabbi Gamliel. Shalach Chuba Elav Zuz, and he paid a fortune of money for the lulav, 1,000 zuz. Okay, I wish I could attach a dollar amount to that. The ksuva, which is supposed to make a husband think twice before divorcing his wife. That's 200 zuz. So 200 zuz already is a good amount of money where, you know, it's basically going to make the husband think for a moment, pause for a moment before divorcing his wife. That's 200 zuz. So just, it only gives me an idea. 5 times that amount, 1,000 zuz, that's how much he paid for his lulav. Right? Huh? Yeah. For a bas kohen, it's right, 400. Right. Okay. It's an exorbitant amount of money. So v'yatza bovenasno le Rabbi Yoshua ben Matana. Now he's the only one who had the lulav, and it was day one, and they were on a boat, which I know is strange. Well, right, that's a common occurrence. We find them on a boat, but okay, there must have been reasons why they were traveling so much, right? I could speculate, but I'm not going to bother. So v'yatza bovenasno le Rabbi Yoshua, and he gifted it to Rabbi Yoshua ben Matana, not le Rabbi Yoshua v'yatza bovenasno le Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah. And then they gifted it to Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, ben Matana, not the Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, Yatsab of Nasa ben Matana, Rabbi Akiva, not the Rabbi Akiva Yatsabo. Okay, you're following. Everyone needs to be gifted. And the gifting becomes important because the gifting obviously makes it yours. Albeit temporarily, but it's yours. Ve'achzir le Rabbi Gamliel. And then finally it was given back to Rabbi Gamliel, because Rabbi Gamliel obviously was the owner. So the point is that it was given back to Rabbi Gamliel. Why did the Brice have to spell that out? Because they wanted to instruct us, they wanted to inform us that matana al menas lahachzir is considered matana. Meaning, here's a simple argument I could have made. I will give this to you, but you must, but conditional to the gift that I'm gifting it to you, you must gift it back to me. You can make the argument, you could try to make the argument, well, it's not yours, knowing full well that the gifting is only contingent on the fact that you return it. Which means that if you don't return it, the gifting is, the original gifting is no good. Retroactively, it becomes voided. So I could have said that if the matana is al menas lahachzir, it's not considered matana. The chiddush is, it's a tremendous chiddush, but the Gemara is being mechadesh, that matana al menas lahachzir is in fact considered matana. So even though it's not just that I'm gifting it to you, but with the clear understanding that you're going to be returning it to me, and if you don't return it to me, the original gift is voided, still, while you have it, it's considered yours. It's a tremendous chiddush. So kihad amarava helecha esrog zeh, amanasha tachziru li, nalavi yatza bo, echziru yatza, lo echziru lo yatza. So fine. And Rava basically spells this out in using the example of an esrog, where you need an esrog, I have it, I'm going to gift it to you, but only on the contingency where you return it back to me. So you take the esrog, you shake it. If you give it back to me, you fulfill your obligation. If you don't give it back to me, you didn't fulfill the obligation, because the gifting was only contingent on the return. And if you didn't return it, so now you failed on the condition, which means that the original matana is not a matana, which means it's not yours. Okay. Lama l'lameim ha-shalachu be'alav zoz. One other point the Gemara wants to go over, that Rabbi Gamliel spent 1,000 zoz. Why does he need to report that? Lo dicha kama mitzvos chavivas aleim. It's very simple. So the wants to tell us how much they love their mitzvahs. They love their mitzvah so much that they were ready to spend 1,000 zoz on a mitzvah. Okay. There is, generally speaking, a cap in which we are supposed to be spending on mitzvos, right? And 1,000 zuz seems to be well beyond the cap. Okay, I'm not prepared to discuss that right now, but just in general, that's something to consider. Let's quickly recap our daf. This is our stopping point. All right, we'll continue tomorrow with Amrle. Okay, let's review, recap. We did. And then the kedusha is just simply going to grow out of control. So and then machlokes between Rav Meir and the Chachamim, with the qualification of Rava, that when it comes to female animals, for sure you can't do that, because that for sure is going to reproduce. The machlokes between Rav Meir and the Chachamim is only going on male animals. The Gemara returned back to yesterday's daf, and the machlokes between Rav Lazar and Rav Yochanan of how to transfer the kedusha of Perishvias. So Rav Yochanan says, let's start with Rav Elazar. Rav Elazar says it can only be done b'derech mekach u'memkar. Rav Yochanan says it can be done af b'derech chilo. And then what we concluded with today's daf is that there's no debate about the first transaction. That has to be done al yidei mekach, because of smuchin that we learned in yesterday's daf. The only machlokes between Rav Elazar and Rav Yochanan is only on the subsequent transactions. Next thing that we cover today is that the mitzvah of lulav is in the Beis HaMikdash is for 7 days, and outside the Beis HaMikdash, begvulin, it's only for 1 day. Once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Rav Yochim and Zakeh made a takana that we're going to be taking lulav for all 7 days of Sukkos, zecher lemikdash. The second takana, which we spent a lot of time talking about today's daf, is that the chadash. On the 16th day of Nisan, when there was a Beis HaMikdash, the Omer is matir. Once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, although, despite the fact that Min HaTorah were over, the conversion from Chadash to Yashin occurs in the very morning of the 16th, nevertheless, Rav Yochim and Zakeh made a takana that we're not allowed to eat that whole day. The Yom HaNeif, the 16th day, Kulo Aser. The whole day becomes Aser. Now, why did he make such a gzera, such a takana? So the Gemara says, because we're all creatures of habits, and if we were getting into the habit of eating the grains on the morning, so on the first year that the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, so we're all creatures of habits, and we're going to eat in the morning. And meanwhile, it's not going to be mutter until the Omer is brought, which is later that day. Why didn't Rav Yochanan Zakkai make a takana that it should be usher only until midday? Because even with the Beis HaMikdash, we could all be rest assured that the Kohanim would have brought the Omer midday. So why is the takana gzera of Rav Yochanan Zakkai for the whole day? So the Gemara gives one of two possible answers. Answer number one is that there could be a circumstance, albeit it is most unlikely, but there could be a circumstance where the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built either on the late evening of the 15th, the night of the 16th, and then the Kohanim are simply not going to have time to bring the Omer that year in the morning. It's going to be delayed, and they're probably going to bring it later that afternoon. That's one answer. And the other answer of the Gemara is that we misunderstood Rav Yochanan Zakkai altogether. He didn't mean it as a takana. He meant it that this is the way he understood the drasha. The drasha is teaching us that that when there's no Beis HaMikdash, it is usher to eat chadash the whole day of the 16th. Okay. That is, those are the two possibilities. Next Mishnah taught us the basics regarding where the first day of Yontif of Sukkot coincides with Shabbos. So you have a mitzvah of Dal Minim. On the other hand, we also have now an Isser of Otzah. So what do you do? What you do is you prepare. Before Shabbos, you'll bring your lulav to shul. You must label it because it's got to be yours. And then you go to shul next morning and you'll take it. And then the Mishnah also told us that if, let's say, you didn't bring it to shul and now you're walking to shul with your lulav on Shabbos on the first day. So despite the fact that you're not allowed to do so, but you're not going to have to bring a karban chatas because of Tov B'Dvar Mitzvah. And then with the Gemara's discussion is two drashas. One, everybody needs their own dal minim. And number two, it has to be yours on the first day. It can't be borrowed. It can't be stolen. In terms of the definition of yours, a matana would work. Even a matana amenas lahachzir, even that would work as well. Adkan.